Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Isaiah chapter 42. The first 16 verses, Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 16, and afterwards the form for the administration of holy baptism will be read. Let us sing from Psalter 194, stanzas 1, 5, and 6. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. 1, 5, and 6 of Psalter 194.
Before we read from Isaiah 42, we will read the law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus said the God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the isles. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Thus far the reading of God's word. Now we will read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to load and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating unto us the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members in Christ, of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin. We must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony, that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from that baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, testified with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, the one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, and let us sing from Psalter 444, the 7th verse. Jehovah's mercy floweth like a river, and from everlasting and abideth ever on those that love and worship Him with awe. And what follows in the 7th verse of Psalter 444. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed His covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it might then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, and whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of His church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Third, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Alex Vinnie? Mr. and Mrs. Garrett Bredewich. Dear parents, we have just read from our form that this must not be done out of form and out of custom. This is not the first time that you have stood here. And thus, we like to ask you in these moments how that is. Is it now form and custom? But it must be used, we read, to a different end. That is, that the Lord would seal thereby to his church and to their seed his covenant. Why did the Lord not just give unto his people a promise? Then he could have just made a promise. We know that Zacharias, when he was in the temple, he said unto that angel Gabriel, "Whereby shall I know this? How will I know that this word that thou speakest is really the truth?" Thus, that was something that came out of unbelief. And this, then the Lord gave to him a sign. That was that man might believe. This sign that is not being sought by God's people, but that was given to God's children for that same reason. That is, that it may be an help to them in faith. That is, that the Lord gives to them a sign and that he gives to them a seal. We know that that grave of Christ that was sealed, it was sealed by the authorities. And thus, in this sign and in this seal, then the Lord promises and he says, "I give to you a sign that it is really true. You can see it by that water, that you may know that I certainly will do it. What will I do? I will take of those children, and I will bring them into my kingdom, because baptism, that is what makes us a member of the church. That is what is bringing into that church." So the Lord says, "Indeed, you may know, by this sign you may know that I certainly will bring of your children into my kingdom." And now we ask, how is it with the form and with the custom? Is it now just for you something that happens today? Or is it something that goes with you day by day? That is, when you are on your knees for your children, then does this promise of the Lord and this oath, as it were, that the Lord swears by that sign and by that seal that he will do it, is that coming back to you when you are on your knees, that you may point to this and say, "Lord, thou hast promised it not only, but thou hast given also a sign and a seal, and that thou hast assured us that thou wilt do it, that you may receive faith in prayer, that you may receive hope in prayer, and that your prayer may ascend higher than the ceiling." How does it go when you bring your child up in the world, when you give instruction to your child, when you say to your child, "This you may not do, And this is now the meaning of God's word. Is there in your heart a cry that is looking once again to the promise of the Lord, saying, Lord, I know not how to do this, but thou hast promised, and thou hast given to us that sign and that seal, that assurance that thou art going to work in the children of the congregation. May the Lord make you parents as Jacob, who would not let the Lord go except that he bless him. That you may not let the Lord go except that the Lord may bless you and your children. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Lincoln Garrett, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Devin Alex, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, And we beseech thee through the same Son of thy love that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee, and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents in that most sacred work, in the instruction of their children and in the setting of an example before them day by day, and that they also may be given to plow in hope. For thou hast given them reason to hope, when thou hast given this promise of the continuance of thy grace in the midst of thy church unto the succeeding generations. Oh, that they may be given that true and that saving faith that may go out unto thee who art able to do it and who will do it according to thy promise. That they may not doubt in their hearts, but that they may be given that true desire and that true believing in thee. That may look upon to thee in all their needs and cares day after day, especially when much will come against it as it does in the days wherein we are living, when the ends of the world are come upon us, but thy promise then is so sure, and thy faithfulness that is unto all generations. Remember thou also the grandparents, the great-grandparents, for they may see their seed in the successive generations being brought up under thy truth, and then it may be to the gladness of their hearts. But, O, give them also a place in their on their knees in their secret chambers before thee, for themselves and for their seed, and that they all together may not be able to let thee go except that thou bless them. Oh, that thou may remember also thy church in this holy sacrament, because thou knowest how often that they are so discouraged, especially when that number grows so small, when thy children do fall away, and then it cannot be so evidently seen that there are also those that are following after. But thy covenant stands so sure, thou art from everlasting unto everlasting the same, and thou wilt have them also to believe it and to expect it from thee. Thou wilt have them to seek it from thee. Thou wilt have them in faith to lay it before thee. For thou sayest, let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea. And let him not think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Oh, that thou may give them all together as a congregation that true repentance, and that is so required of us by thee. Oh, that we may be brought in a way of true sorrow for our sin, And that we may not take hold of the horns of the altar as a Joab, but that we may be given that place of true repentance, and that we may be brought to receive for our own hearts and also, and be given to see that it takes place in the seed following, that blessed washing of all our sins. O Lord, who can stand before Thee? And for our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. But Thou wilt show us mercy and take our guilt away. O, do it then for Thy great name's sake, and grant Thy children a little token of Thy favor, of Thy communion, of Thy blessing. Oh, could it please Thee, it is Thy holy day. And we have heard already in this hour out of Thy holy law, that it is a Sabbath day that is hallowed by Thee. It is set apart by Thee. Oh, what is Thy purpose in it? Lord, could it please Thee, and that in this very morning hour, and when Thy word is to go forth, that Thou may give it power, and that Thou may come with Thy Spirit, and that Thou may bring not only these children by birth and baptism into an outward membership, but that Thou may give that children may be born in this hour. Lord, and we know not what to say for this. For we cannot do it, and it depends not upon our words. But Thou hast promised, I have put my words in Thy mouth. Oh, we beseech Thee then for a word from above. Oh, that it may be amongst young and old together. Oh, may be the oldest one to be born anew. In this very hour, oh, we ask of Thee, Lord, a miracle, but they came to Thee, asking miracles time and again. Open Thou mine eyes that I may see. Oh, open Thou my ears. Oh, give me legs to walk, and to Thy honor, to Thy glory. Lord, remember us. Young and old, remember all the afflicted and the sick ones that cannot gather with us. Thou knowest their place this day. Be with all those that mourn, that have serious diseases also. Thou knowest the many, many callings that are coming unto us as congregations, especially in this area. Time and again, this one and that one, and who shall be next to hear it? Set Thine house in order, for Thou shalt surely die and not live. Oh, remember them in a special way this Thy holy day. Remember all Thy servants. Also the student in this area that speaks in this day and in these weeks. Among us, wilt Thou help him in the language of the land? And wilt Thou give opening and liberty? Remember the theological school, the instructors, the students, our brother also that may be with us in this day with his family. Wilt Thou remember them all together? And could it please Thee to instruct them and us to gather continually for that labor that is so impossible for human shoulders. Wilt Thou encourage a little? Could it please Thee this day to go forward in that which can be as such a mountain? Wilt Thou look upon us also? Lord, Thou knowest what we stand in need of to bring Thy word. Help us. Give us strength in our body. Give us wisdom in our mind. Give us thy Spirit in a rich measure in our heart, the love of thee for souls to burn within, and that we may be given of thy Spirit in a rich measure, and that it may go forth among us in this hour from pew to pew, and that thou wouldst be feelingly and believingly in our midst, to thy own honor and glory. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 233, stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear. O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. We announced at our recent meeting of the male members the following were chosen for the offices: for the office of elder, Mr. Garrett Van Heerden; for the office of deacon, Mr. Henry Van Sluis. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by December the 30th. The last collection today is for the Theological School Support Fund. That's Psalter 233, 1, 3, 5, and 6. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in Joshua chapter 20, the middle part of the 8th verse, Joshua 20, the middle part of the 8th verse, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad. So far the words of our text. Ramoth, appointed as a city of refuge. Second, Ramoth sought as a city of refuge. Ramoth, first, appointed. Second, sought as a city of refuge. Ramoth congregation was a great and strong city east of the Jordan. That was a very important city in the wars of Israel. We know that it was taken from Omri by Ben-Hadad the First, and that Ahab has attempted to take this Ramoth in Gilead, Ramoth-Gilead. He has attempted to take it back again. Our children will know that story very well, boys and girls, because who did Ahab desire to go with him? That was the God-fearing King Jehoshaphat. And you will remember that Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "You wear your robes, and I will disguise myself." And that enemy has said to his people, "You fight only with the king, not with the people." And so Jehoshaphat was nearly slain. But when he cried to the Lord delivered him. And then the Lord, he has taken away the life of that Ahab and by a bow that was shot by a venture. There is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. That was all about Ramoth-Gilead. Then we know that Joram, his son, he has successfully taken this city back, but he was also wounded. He was brought to heal from his wounds to Jezreel, and then he was slain by Jehu. Thus much we read about this city, Ramoth-Gilead. The only other thing that we read that is that this city that was the city that was appointed as a city of refuge. But no man will seek that city of refuge except that he sees that in that city of refuge there is something for him, that there is in that city safety, that there is in that city protection for him. Thus we have begun together on the west side of that Jordan in the north. There we have considered Kadesh, holiness that is seen as so suitable to that manslayer in his unholiness. Thus we have descended to the middle of that land to Shechem, shoulder that was a beautiful city in the eyes of those who had a burden that they were not able to carry themselves. And so we have gone to the south of that land, Hebron, that is association, that is communion. Oh, precious unto a people who are on the outside and who do not know and are not able to come on the inside. Then we have crossed the Jordan, and we have come to the east side of that river, unto Bezer, fortress, or a city that is seen so suitable by those who are taught in their life what their weakness, what their helplessness is. And now we will go north. And when we come once again to the middle of the land, then we come to Ramoth in Gad, Ramoth Gilead. And what is now the meaning of Ramoth Gilead? Ramoth Gilead, that means heights. That means exaltations. And that is now appointed once again as a city that is to be representing the Lord Jesus Christ unto His church. Exaltations, heights. For whom is that city appointed? That city is appointed for those who have fallen. It is appointed for those who have fallen from a great height and who have now found themselves in a great depth because of sin, and a people that are not able to deliver themselves out of that depth. David said, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. David, he says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. We read in God's Word that hell, that is called the bottomless pit, that is a pit that has no bottom, that is an unfathomable, that is an immeasurable depth, that is now that place that is assigned unto the wicked as the final consequence of the sin of man and of his rebellion against the Lord. Solomon, he says, heaven for a height that is unsearchable, and so is that also concerning the hell for the depth. Then it is no wonder that that manslayer, that he is fearing that avenger of blood, because once that avenger of blood has gotten hold of him, then he is going to sink ever further than he feels himself even now to be sunken, not only into a spiritual, but into an eternal death. That is that depth, that is that pit, out of which no man shall ever arise. Ramoth, heights, exaltations. There are two states of Christ. That is the state of his humiliation and the state of his exaltation. And those two states, they correspond to the guilt or to the acquittal that is before the judge. Thus, it has to do with the justice of God. That in the state of his humiliation, that Christ not has not his own guilt, but in that state of his humiliation, than the guilt of his church that is laid upon him. But in the state of his exaltation, then he is acquitted from that guilt. The church has rejoiced in the humiliation of Christ. How is that possible? That they would rejoice in the humiliation of Christ. Was that then a matter truly of rejoicing? Simeon, he says to Mary, a sword shall pierce through thine own heart also. Was that then a matter to rejoice? No, not in itself. But why did that church rejoice? That church rejoiced because that humiliation, that was not the end. That church rejoiced because they have seen through that humiliation unto the exaltations of Christ. Was that also in the Old Testament? Yes. Because Isaiah prophesied of his humiliation. And he said that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That will put him to grief. That will make his soul an offering for sin. But Isaiah did not stop there. No, Isaiah, he went further. He said he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And Isaiah, he goes on to speak about the exaltations of Christ. He says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Thus that church, that was an Advent church, who was looking forward to his coming, and they did not look forward in that sense merely to the humiliations of Christ, but they may look through those humiliations unto the exaltations of Christ. There are not so many that are privileged to see the exaltations of Christ through his humiliations. It does not belong to the world. They could see nothing of it. It does not belong to the religious professor. They are blind to it. That did not belong to the Pharisees. That did not belong to the scribes. No, that was a special grace. It was a grace that belonged to the people of the Lord. It was a grace that belonged unto the remnant of the Lord. And then it was necessary that the Lord, he would reveal something, he would show something of that divinity through that veil of his humanity. Thus those shepherds, they may come and they may see that child in the state of his humiliation, and they may see that child in his poverty. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. There was never, we would say, such a place where a child was born. that can speak of more poverty than of that child. Because he is laid not even in the bed of a child, but he is laid now in that manger. And those shepherds, what did they do? Well, we read that they rejoiced. For all the things that they had heard and seen, they rejoiced. How is it now possible that those shepherds rejoiced when they saw such poverty? That was only because they may receive also some blessed views of His exaltations. They may see through their poverty. We read that they made known abroad the same. Thus everyone they spoke to, they heard it too. But we don't read that anyone went. And why not? Because the eyes, they were not opened. And what was hid from them were the exaltations of that child. Those wise men, we read when they came and they saw that mother and that child, that they fell down and they worshipped Him. How is that possible? There is only one way. And that is that they have been given blessed views of Ramoth. That they were given blessed views of the exaltations of that child. Paul, he says, to Paul, the Lord says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, how a man has to receive eyes to see it and a heart to agree with it in his own life. But so it was now also in the life of Christ. Paul, he says to the Hebrews that Christ took part of the same what? Of that same flesh. That is, as it was under the consequences of our sin, He took part of the same. But why? He says that through death, He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That is, that it was his very death, that is the deepest humiliations of Christ, which were to the destruction of him that had that power of death. And what did he bring out of that death? He brought life. Thus, the exaltations of Christ, they are flowing out of his humiliations. The disciples, they did not understand that, although the Lord Jesus had said it to them beforehand, that he would not only be humbled, that he would not only die, but that he was also going to be raised from the dead. When the Lord Jesus was laying in that grave, then we read that they mourned and that they wept. And why is it? It is because that faith in that time could not see through those humiliations unto his exaltations. A farmer, he will sow his seed. But as he is sowing that seed, He has a view of the exaltations. Otherwise, he would never sow it. But except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Therefore, Solomon, he says, before honor is humility. Thus, that farmer, he is not sowing for the sake of that sowing itself. Because what is it? It is death. Why would he throw all that good seed away? No, he doesn't do it with an eye unto the death. But he does it always with an eye unto the life. And he is looking and he is waiting for those exaltations, and thus that church, they may rejoice in the humiliations of Christ. Not because they sought those humiliations, but that they are looking now for that life. They are looking for the exaltations that is coming from out of those humiliations. God's people, they can sometimes be so glad when they may perceive in a person a godly sorrow. Say, why? Are they happy that that man has become sad? Are they happy that that man is weeping? No. No, it is not for the sake of that weeping. They do not rejoice in that weeping itself, but they know that there is a godly sorrow that worketh a repentance that is not to be repented of. And it is those exaltations that that people, they are looking for. There are people, they can speak for many days and weeks and months and years about their poverty, about their misery, and we need to know it. But congregation, sometimes you can feel that there is a certain contentment in it. That there is a speaking about it, that there is no desire to be out of it. But that is nothing but hypocrisy. Because a man who is in his poverty, he desires to be out of it. A man who is in his misery, he does not want to stay in that misery. Ramoth. Exaltations. What is now the wonder of the humiliation of Christ? That is, that it makes way, that it makes room for his exaltations. That is not just for himself. No, because he was exalted. The Lord Jesus prayed to his Father. He says, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. O Father, now glorify thou me with that glory which I had with thee before the world was. Thus he was glorified. He had his honor. He was in his exaltation. But the Lord, he continues. He says, Father, I will that they which thou hast given me may be with me where I am. Thus, he has humbled himself that he may bring his people out of that pit, that he may deliver them from that depth to which that they have fallen. That spiritual death We're not created in it, but fallen. And on their side, so helpless, with a great responsibility, but so helpless, and coming now to deliver them out of that pit. And that is now what that manslayer, he may be given by the Lord to see in this Ramoth. That is for his hope. That is for his expectation that he may be given to run. That he may be given to flee unto that city. Let us sing 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of 188. Secondly, Ramoth sought as a city of refuge. Congregation, there is not a man in the whole world in his natural state that will now seek for this city of refuge. There is much pretension, but he will not. And why not? Paul, he says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Enmity. That is what is living in the heart of a man. Where did that enmity begin? That began already in paradise. What was now that first sin? Man, he has lifted himself up in pride against the Lord. The Lord, he says, thou thoughtest that I was altogether one such as thyself. Man made in that image of God has very soon after that creation began to compete with him for his glory. That is a competition for the throne. Say, that is not what is in my heart. Is that not so? How is it with your will, then, and the Lord's will? Can you say that it is in your heart, Lord, thy will be done? Or is it not, boys and girls, that's from young and, to the youngest to the oldest. We see that also in the little children. Then it is not thy will, but my will. But whose will is done? Him that sits on the throne? That is what we want. Thus we have become competitors for that throne of the Lord, for the exaltations of the Lord. And Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad. So we see a man, he is running unto Ramoth. Here we see a man, he is running unto this city to seek refuge. To seek refuge in who? To seek refuge in that Lord of glory. How much must have changed in him? Then there cannot be a man that is yet in his natural state, because otherwise he would not so run. What is necessary? It is necessary that that man, he is coming first off his throne. What do we read about Manasseh? That it was in prison. That Manasseh knew that the Lord, He is God. And not Manasseh. We even read of Nebuchadnezzar that he confessed that those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. Asaph, he said, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. What was that reason that Herod did that awful deed to slay all those children of Bethlehem? Why? That was because he wanted to remain on the throne. That is man. And we will do everything to remain on that throne, and then a man does not rejoice in the birth of a new king. He does not rejoice in the exaltations of that new king. Today, man pretends to an ability to accept of Christ if only he may be offered to him. Congregation, we do not say that there is not such a responsibility of man, because there is. But we say there is no ability. And why no ability? Because of this enmity. There is an enmity that is due to our fall. That is our spiritual death. There is a competition with Christ. For what? For his glory. For his exaltations. What is it about? It is all about merit. It is that merit for which he will be glorified forever and forever by his church. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they wanted nothing to do with the merit of Christ. And why not? Because they had sufficient of their own merit. They had sufficient of their own righteousness. Now the Christian man, of course, today he says, yes, we cannot keep that law. No, that is true. But then we fall quickly into that Neonomian error to make faith into a work. Then it is not anymore that keeping of the law, but we must keep that new law. We must now keep that law of faith. And if only we can believe, but congregation, there is no merit in it. There is no merit in it. It is still only a competition for the exaltations of Christ. Faith that is the means, that is the gift that the Lord is giving unto his children. In order that they may receive what? Not their salvation, his salvation. And so the Lord says, what hast thou that thou hast not received? And if thou hast received it, why dost thou glory? O Christ, he says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And why not? Because of your enmity. And that enmity that has to be broken. And how is it broken? Then a man has to come off the throne. He has to come in the dust of self-abasement. He needs to be stripped. He needs to be broken down. Yes, sure. Many cry up the exaltations of Christ. They said, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But they were never humbled. They had never come off the throne. And that is now that people, they have turned right around. And they have said, crucify him, crucify him. But Jeremiah, he lamented. He said, the crown is fallen from our heads. Woe unto us, because that we have sinned. That is now what is necessary. The exaltations of Christ, they are sought by a people that are made willing by him. Made willing by him. The exaltations of Christ, we have such a picture of the seeking of those exaltations by the blind, who first had to experience that they could not see. And then they are crying to Him. Oh, they may have such blessed views of the exaltations of Christ in His power, even if it was only a miraculous faith. So that was for the dumb and for the deaf and for those that could not walk on their feet. Oh, then they saw something. They saw something in Him, not only the humiliations, no, but they could see through those humiliations. He was a man just like you and I. No one else could see it. The other Jews did not see it. But they had those blessed views of His divine power. Paul once despised Him. He persecuted Him. He agreed that Stephen should be stoned, that church had to be persecuted. Oh, but there came a day that He spoke of the exceeding abundance of His grace. I think He probably could not do that without weeping. He spoke about the exceeding abundance of His grace. Why? Because Christ Jesus, He came into the world to save sinners. He says, of whom I am the chief. Oh, He had first to come off that throne. And then He was not competing for those exaltations anymore. No. And then He was looking that He would receive all the honor and all the glory. O congregation, so it is now with that manslayer. Oh, did you ever become such a man? Did the Lord ever bring you now off that throne? And did the Lord ever open something, the smallest part of the exaltations of Christ, to the gladness, to the rejoicing of your heart? Oh, did you ever see the smallest part of His beauty in His exaltations? Oh, then we are not competing with Him anymore. No, if we may see the exaltation of His power, O congregation, then we take refuge. Then a man takes refuge. And he comes to Him with what? Only with his weakness. Only in his helplessness. In his helplessness. Not with his power. Not to exalt our power. But when we have only weakness left, when we have only helplessness left, then a man, he is seeking refuge in the exaltations of the power of Christ. And when a man has only debt, are there such people? Only debt, not a penny to pay that debt anymore. Then the Lord is opening something of the exaltations of that surety that is standing there to pay the debt of that people. Oh, if the Lord may open unto us something of the exaltations of that prophetical office, then how do we come to Him? Oh, then there is a refuge taking. And then a man is bringing what? His wisdom? No. Then he is bringing his ignorance. His ignorance. And if the Lord may open something of that priestly office, and that He may desire the exaltations of Him in that office, then what has He but to bring? Then He has only but to bring His guilt. And nothing more. Nothing more. And when He may desire the exaltations of His kingly office, then He can bring that rebellion. And when He may desire the exaltations of His mercy, then He can bring to Him, bring to Him only then your misery. Only your misery. And if you may desire, by that grace and that revelation of Him, to exalt His grace, then you may bring only your own unworthiness. Because when you may decrease, then He may increase. And when you may become nothing, then He may become all in all. Ramoth, exaltations, amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in Thy truth. Take us off our throne, else we will never run to that city of Ramoth. Teach us who we are in Thy sight, and wilt Thou reveal Thy suitability to a wretched people who have fallen so far from Thee, and who cannot lift themselves out of the pit anymore. Feed Thy people. Bring us safely to our places. And with desire in Thy house in this afternoon, strengthen us for this work. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 429, 3 and 4. They all shall sing in joyful lays, and Lord His ways with jubilation. For great is God in majesty, the Lord is He of all creation. 3 and 4 of 429. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.